All right, so last week we looked at the three things Abraham did and did well that made him a friend of God. This week we're going to go a bit deeper into what is actually involved in obedience to God. In doing so, I'm going to give your Bible a workout. I'm going to keep you busy looking up passages in the Bible, 13 different passages in this sermon. I'm thinking that might be a record. I'm not sure. But I hope you're ready and I hope your fingers are nimble. Before we get into it, let's pray by your heads for us. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. We are thankful for those who are here, Lord. We ask special prayer for those who are not able to make it. Lord, we ask you to watch over us as we go into this, that we can learn something that we can actually just put into our lives on a daily basis, Lord. Things that help us grow closer to you so we can eventually be called a friend of yours, Lord. We want to be your friend. We want to do all we can to get there, and Lord, we are looking forward to an eternity in heaven with you. I ask you to watch over this meeting, that everything that happens today, the sermon and all, everything is conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you, and we ask all of this in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, so as I said in my last sermon, being called a friend of God has to be one of the best feelings in the world, and it should be the goal of all mankind, not just Christians, but all mankind should always be striving to be considered a friend of God. Besides those three main things that we took notice of last week on Abraham, which was obedience, faith, and sacrifice, we know that there are many things Abraham had to do in order to be a friend of God. Things that are all part of the obedience part, being obedient to God. The Bible is clear about what it means to be obedient and our attitude in doing so. So we're going to turn to 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Obedience and keeping his commandments. We should look forward to it. It should not be a burden to us. It should not cause us pain. We shouldn't do it reluctantly or unwillingly. We should just be wanting to do it. We should strive to do it. It shouldn't be one of those things, well, I have to do this. It's nothing that you have to do. You need to obey God out of love. We don't obey God out of fear or with a begrudging heart. We obey God out of love. That's the first step. Unfortunately, many people have found it easier to say they are a Christian than to be a Christian. A lot of people claim Christianity. And it's worrisome because they are considered false converts because they believe they have converted. They believe they have asked God to save them. But in reality, they didn't mean it. They would love to go to heaven as opposed to hell, but they don't want to sacrifice and be obedient to God and give God the control. That makes them a false convert. 1 John 2, verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you're saying you're a Christian, you're not doing what Christians do, what God expects you to do, what the Bible clearly lays out, then you're a liar. That's what the Bible says. 2 John 1, 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. If you claim to be a Christian, you can't live in your own lifestyle. It has to be different. It's should be different because you want it to be different. Not because it has to be different, but because you want to live differently. So the second step in obedience is constant conversation with God. Now, Abraham had a privilege we don't have. Abraham was able to speak to God face to face. That's something we don't have that option as much anymore. God deals with us through the Holy Spirit now. He doesn't have to show up in person and talk to us. But there was more to their relationship than just those few times of personal interaction. Abraham was in constant conversation with God. Now, we all know the verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's an important verse. You should always be praying, always talking to God, always communing with God. But there's another verse in Luke 21, in verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, to be counted worthy. We are counted worthy because we trust God. Our faith is in God. We accept God as our Lord and Savior. We are to take everything to God in prayer. Everything, not just some things. Everything goes to God in prayer. He wants to help, but he will not interfere. If you don't ask God to help you, he's not helping you. Tell you that right now. It would be simple for him to help you if you ask, but if you don't ask, he's not going to force that upon you. In order to be willing to take things to God and give it to God, we need to stop holding on to things. We need to say, you know what? I know what God's answer is for this problem. And if I give it to God, that's the answer he's going to give me. That's not the answer I want. So I'm going to hold on to this one. I'll just keep working my way through it. You have to be willing to give the problem to God and let go of that problem. You can't dwell on it. You can't worry about it. You can't stew about it. You need to turn it over to God and do whatever God needs you to do next. That's how that one works. The next thing that we are required to do in obedience to God, or to make us obedient to God, is to be in continual meditation. Now, I'm not talking about sitting down in some yoga pose and making funny noises and all that kind of stuff. Actually, I'm going to tell you, if you do that, stop it. I won't tell you to stop it. That is a form of spiritualism. That is a religion. And you are opening your mind to say, that's what the whole purpose of that is. So if you're practicing yoga, stop. You're not in the right spot. That's not the kind of meditation. When we are talking about this meditation, we are talking about thinking about the things of God. Meditating on his word, taking the time out. Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating on God's word. Not trying to clear your mind of everything else in the world. I'm talking about sitting down, focusing on God's word. That's how you grow. That's part of the obedience. Constant meditation. So do you spend time alone with God? Do you study to show yourself an approved worker? That's the scripture. I didn't put that one in there. I would have made 14 if I had. I figured I'd kill you all if I had one more. So I didn't want to do that. But if you want to grow closer to God, you have to take time to get to know him better. Does that make sense to everybody? I mean, we do that all the time. How many of you all know somebody, and then how many of you all really know somebody? Or how many people do you really know? We know a lot of people. There are a lot of people to know in this world. There's more people out there to know than you'll ever get to know. But how many people do you really know? How do you get to really know those people? You spend time with them. You talk to them. Think about the early stages of your relationship with your significant other. You're on the phone. You're calling. You're texting. You're, for the younger people, they're texting. Texting, I'll explain that to you old people later. But you do this. You are communicating with each other all the time. If you get a letter, which doesn't happen much anymore, but love letters used to be a big thing. You get a love letter from somebody and you read it once and throw it away. No, you kept it. You held on to it. You read it again. It was important to you. You spent time. So if you want to get to know God better, meditate on his word. Spend time with God. It's how your relationship works with anything and anybody, but especially with God. Now, our next step is a little bit harder. If you think even those were hard, I've got some news for you. This is the hardest. You have to be honest with God. Have you ever really thought about the implication of being honest with God? Many of us will go along with what's written in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a friend called Ed the Edge Sketch first. You shake it, and everything is clean again, right? That's what God does. He cleanses us. We love this. We love the fact that we can confess a sin to God and God will forgive us of that sin. That is a wonderful promise from God. But do we really confess all of our sins to God? Are we completely honest with God about what we do? Do we think we can hide something? Generally, we are more than willing to admit sins that we need help with, or that we are willing to give to God. But there are some sins that we're just not willing to admit we make, not to ourselves even. Yeah, think about that. You have to be completely honest with God. So, do you have a sin that you want to hang on to? Because that's typically what happens. We have a sin we like, and we want to hold on to that one sin, whatever it may be, or two sins, or depending on where you are, or what's going on. But are you willing to pray what David prayed in Psalm 139? Starts in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that's a powerful prayer. Search me. Search my heart. Search my thoughts. He said, search what I do, or what I think. Are you willing to be that honest with God? Simple to say yes, because that's the appropriate answer. But it goes back to that same question. If God was coming to your house today, how much notice would you have to have? And I'm not talking about sweeping up dog hair and emptying the trash and doing some dishes. I'm talking about how much stuff would you have to clean out of your house before you want God to see it. It's about being honest with God. Are you willing to be completely honest with God? Part of the requirement to be a friend of God, you have to be completely honest. And this requires a courageous heart. So have courage when you do this. Be prepared for what God shows you. Because you might not even know you're doing something. You might not have recognized it. You are so used to it that it is just you. It's just how who you are. And God might say you need to stop. That's not how it works. Be prepared for this answer. If you go to God and say, Lord, search me, be prepared. He'll search you. And then be willing to do something about what he finds. Another thing we need to do is we need to value what God values. Too often we claim that, but our actions show differently. There's a saying that says, if I really want to know where your heart lies, let me see your checkbook. Let me see your financial statement. Where do you spend your money? What is the most important thing you do every week, every month, every year? Your checkbook will show you that. Where do you spend your money? Because the Bible says, see, I didn't put this one in there either for you, but where your heart is or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Where do you put this stuff? Our marching orders on this are found in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we are not to be fitting into this world. We should be separate. We deal with what's in this world. We deal with the feelings, the emotions, the people, the circumstances, the weather. We deal with everything. But this world is just temporary for us. It's not our home. Abraham understood that. He lived accordingly. If we quit trying to be accepted by the world, then we will be transformed and turned into a true and obedient friend of God. This is accomplished by heeding the advice given in the following verses. The first is found in Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the second is found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those two right there. That's how you will have proper balance in your life. That's how it happens. It's by putting God first. The less the things of this world occupy your mind, the better. The more you focus on God, the less those things will be important to you. They'll fade into the background. You will eventually see what the things this world have to offer, what they really are. They're just an illusion. They will only bring you temporary happiness. But they are definitely a distraction. They will distract you from the things of God. And we also have to want to be God's friend. meaning that we should strongly desire to be God's friend. We just want to be something and strongly desiring to be something is two different things. Right? I want to be skinny. I want to lose weight. Do I strongly desire to lose weight? Well, I'll think about it while I eat a triple cheeseburger from Wendy's. There's a big difference in those two things. See, I just want it isn't enough. Strongly desiring it is what you need to do. Once we possess that desire, then everything we do will be to that end. It'll be to reach that goal. Y'all know what Jesus said in John 15, starting in 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. God calls us friends if we study his word. That's how that works. Well, we can fulfill this desire of wanting to be God's friend by sitting down, going through God's word, going through his Bible, what I'm talking about, and learning all the stuff that he wants us to know. Everything God wants us to know is in his word. Everything we need to know before we die is in here. Not everything we'd like to know. There are a lot of things we'd like to know. Not everything we need to know is in here. And I guarantee you, if you started reading this Bible the day you were born, and you lived to be 160 years old, and you read it every day nonstop, you'll still never learn everything that's in there to learn. Never happen. So you'll never reach the top of that. You'll never plateau out. There's always room to learn. God shared through his Son, who walked this earth as a man to die on a cross for your sins, everything you need to know. We are his friend because we took the time and put forth the effort to learn his word. Then there's one final thing we need to do to grow close enough to God to be his friend, and that is to focus on the things of God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is a great verse to memorize, by the way. Because it'll give you a good anchor when you get distracted by the world. Oh, you say, oh, no, wait a minute. I am only supposed to think about the things of God. And you can recite this verse. But that brings up the question, where is your focus? I want you to think about that. Where is your focus? What is it that occupies your thoughts and your time? Is it more important than God? That's what it comes down to. Are you focusing on God or are you focusing on the things of this world? That's something to think about. I surely hope and pray that you are focused on your eternity in heaven. That's where our focus should be. Pray for the strength not to be led astray by the temporary things of this world. You know, life seems long sometimes. It really does. But it's really only a brief and fleeting moment in time. You're not here that long. I don't care how long you live, it's not that long compared to eternity. This life is going to end. And we will become a faded memory soon enough to be forgotten. How many times have you ever walked into a cemetery and you looked at a grave from the 1800s and you're thinking, I wonder who that person was? And if they're even a family member of yours, if you track your family tree and you go to a grave site to see the gravestone of an ancestor who died, you look at that and you say, I wonder who they were. So we will fade away. Nothing here on earth is going to last. Makes you wonder why we do the things we do. How many of you all have ever rented an apartment or a house? Raise your hand. Let me see that. That's pretty much everybody at some point in time. How much money did you spend on the house or the apartment? Did you build an addition on it while you were there? Did you put a pool in the backyard? Did you point at any? No. But do you spend a lot of time and money fixing up a place that is not yours? typically when people buy a house, then they take over the responsibility, they repair everything, they add on, and they redecorate it, or maybe they, you know, they do whatever they want to it then because they own that one. But most rentals, I don't know, are not very well taken care of most of the time. As a general rule, it seems how it works. You know, we're only really, everything you own on earth, you're only renting it. It's only your own. You're going to leave it behind one day. Somebody else will get it. Why do you spend all your time and money fixing it? Making it better, making it bigger. Why do you do that? You don't need a whole lot to get through life. As I say this, nobody's allowed to look at my garage because I don't hoard anything. No, I'm just kidding. No, but why do we do this? Why do we hang on to the stuff that this world offers so much? It's only temporary stuff. You know, I wouldn't put new tires on a car I borrowed. I wouldn't do that. I'd take the car back with a full tank of gas, maybe. Say, thank you. I wouldn't spend time fixing something that is not mine, something I do not keep. We do it all the time. You have to wonder about that. Our time here on earth is short. This is just a short-term residence for believers. This is a short-term residence for everybody. If you're not a believer, you know, there's that saying, it's real important, makes it pretty clear. The only hell a Christian will ever experience is their life on this earth. The only heaven a non-believer will experience is their life on this earth. Give you an idea of the extreme ends that we go to eventually. If the best thing you ever have to remember is a good time you had on earth, if that's it, you've wasted it. You've wasted your life. There's an eternity that you're going to spend somewhere. You'll spend it in heaven with the Lord, your Creator, your Savior. Or you will spend it in hell, but in a lake of fire, an eternal separation from God, with full knowledge of the mistake you made by not accepting what you've done. When you get to heaven, you're going to get there one day as a Christian, you're going to come in, and you're going to think about everything that you wasted on earth that God had given you. And you're going to wish you hadn't wasted it. You're going to wish you had done something better. You're going to wish that the stuff that God had entrusted you with, that you had used it as a good steward to promote the kingdom. It'll be too late then. You can't change what you are, what you did. That life is over and done. Why spend time on our short-term residence here on earth when our eternal home is in heaven? So a couple things you can take away. I've listed these seven things. I've given you the verses that go with it. The first one is obey God. The second one is constant communication. Always talk to God. Constant meditation. Always be focused on His Word. Studying it, learning it, memorizing it, applying it. Be honest with God. Ask Him to search you and remove all sin from you, not just the sins you want forgiven for. Value what God values. Quit valuing the things of this earth. They're just temporary. Value what God values. Put your money, your time, everything, your effort into what God values. Number six is desire strongly to be God's friend. That means it becomes your goal, is your focus. Everything you do in life should take you one step closer to God. And then focus on the things of God. When I say focus, this is not about prayer and this is not about Bible study. This is about the things that we need to understand about God. We need to look at the good side of things. When things are going tough for you, going bad, you're having a rough period, look to God. Understand that the final outcome is much better than anything you're going through. And this is not going to last forever. But we need to focus on those things in God. and not be distracted by Satan and the circumstances and the offerings of this world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the time you have given us to hear it. Lord, we just ask that you come into our hearts and in our minds this coming week and in the weeks that follow, Lord, so we can spend time focused on you and on your word and in constant prayer, Lord. Help us in our obedience to you. Help us in our walk, that everything we do brings us closer to you, and our focus will always be on the eternal things, not the temporary things. Lord, as we go into a time of altar call, if there's somebody here who has not made this choice, Lord, have the Holy Spirit convict them. Have them understand that they are rolling the dice of an eternity in a lake of fire, all because they're too hard-headed to sacrifice their own will for yours. Lord, have them come forward. And Lord, just watch over this altar call. Anything that goes on, we ask always that it brings honor and glory to you. I ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.